Welcome to this week's episode of The Capitalist Investor. It is me, Tony the Tiger.
Rawr.
Yeah, we got Luke. Cool hands, Luke.
What up?
And we're missing D on assignment, and so it's me and Luke today. So
I think you, let's just hit on real quick first that I think you won the golf. I think you called.
Yeah, I had a nice size bet on Scottie Scheffler, you know, his betting odds.
You're like Dave Portnoy. He like put like $400,000 on him and won like $2 million.
Yeah, but I got Scotty at like 9-1 several weeks ahead of the Masters. That dude probably got him at like 4-1.
You beat Portnoy, man.
I did. I just
too bad you didn't make $2 million.
I wish I had a couple more zeros on my bet, and it would have been nice. But no, I it's very difficult to bet on golf because it's a very difficult game. To play and to be consistently winning. Like, it's just, even when Tiger was back in his heyday, I mean, he didn't win every tournament, but felt like it.
One thing we talked about before is I think we're going to change the structure of the show. So, Tony, you want to hit on that a little bit for our viewers and listeners?
Yep. So, we're going to mix up the show just a little bit. And what we're going to do is we're going to have more episodes, but they're going to be shorter. They're going to be more maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes long. But we're going to have them about 3 times a week. This way you can hear, listen, move on. Hear, listen, move on, right? Get on with your life.
10-minute drive in the morning to work. Put it on every. So I think Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday is what we're planning on releasing each one. So we'll keep the structure. You'll hear it Monday or Thursday morning tomorrow, which is we're recording the day before. But you're also going to hear it when you turn on our podcast on Spotify or iTunes on Monday morning and Wednesday morning next week as well.
Yeah. I'll let the smarter people in the room figure out what day they're going to drop, but
drop
that information on you guys. All right. So today's podcast, we're going to talk about the 3 common 401k mistakes. And the reason I say this is that, first and foremost, a 401k is the best way to accumulate growth. While you're working, it's probably the one of the very few tools that you have, but it's the most effective because you can pile the most money in there on a tax deferred basis. And the only problem is that I see 2 headwinds with it, right? And the 2 headwinds I see are that usually there are limited investment options unless maybe you have a brokerage link or whatnot, and the average fee that people sometimes don't realize is around 1% to have the 401k provider charges. And sometimes it goes under the radar. I'm like, I don't see any fees. And like, believe me, there are. We have software in our office to where we get to look at the administrative fees that are behind the scenes, and you'd be surprised. They range from maybe a 0.5% all the way up to 2. But the average is somewhere around 1.
And what's the value you're getting out of it? Like, if you're paying mutual funds, if you're paying the plan administration fee of 1%, you might be paying 2% then at that point for the funds and the plan fee. It's like, what exactly are you getting? Financial planning advice?
Well,
are you getting tax planning advice?
Yeah, it's a tool to accumulate money. Right. That's what it is meant for, because you can pile in $24,000 a year. If you're over 50, you can put in over $30,000.
Right.
And regardless of how much you make, it's tax deductible. Where in a traditional IRA, you're kind of capped at $7,000, $8,000.
Well, that's what most people don't realize. Like,
and then you might not be able to deduct it.
Yeah.
Everyone gets to deduct the 401k contribution.
Right.
Right. And if it's on the traditional side, I mean, obviously you can contribute to the Roth and not get the deduction, but.
But yeah, you hit on the key point there, the amounts. I think it's $6,000 for an IRA if you're below 50. It's like 6,500.
In 2024, it's $7,000 under 50 and $8,000 if you're over 50.
Right. And then
for an IRA, traditional IRA. But then you're capped once you make over like $120,000. I don't know the exact number off my head, but once you make over $120,000, you are not allowed to deduct. Right. That contribution anymore.
And then the 401ks have like a $30,000 or $30,500 limit, I believe, if you're over 50 years old to contribute. If you're under 50, it's like $24,000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So like that's like 3-4x the amount of money you can put into 401ks, which is why, like you said, it's one of the biggest tools and everyone does get that deduction.
Right.
One of the other benefits is, we're very bad savers in America.
Right.
So when you see that direct payroll contribution go to your 401k, if you don't have the see the money hit the account, then you're not going to be spending the money because it's not in your account, right? So like it's just the direct payroll contributions allow you to stay disciplined easier, right?
Yep. So just so everyone knows, the contribution limits are $23,000 for 401ks in 2024. And if you're over the age of 50, you get to put in an additional $7,000. So 23 and 30,
yep.
Right? But the we want to talk about the mistakes. You know, like we are bad savers, but the 401k is the best place to save it. But it's also, the, you know, we can get it deducted. Obviously, we get deducted from our payroll, right? Because then if I don't touch it, I won't spend it, maybe.
Right.
Right. So biggest thing, the biggest mistakes is, first of all, you're just, you know, not contributing, you know. And here's the thing. Most employers should be having some type of match, whether you got a safe harbor or, you know, they give you 50 cents on the dollar up to 6%, whatever they might do, right?
Yep.
You have to contribute up to the match. Go get the free money. It's not rocket science. Go get your free money, because that is, again, an accumulation wealth.
You know, they always say, like, don't pick your job based on benefits sometimes, but that's one of the biggest, like, you know, benefits are a huge part to your retirement or health insurance, whatever it be. Like, those are big players in the game. And if you get 3% match, I mean, 3% more money every single year over 30 years could be double your money.
Exactly.
Right?
Right. And so if I put in 10 bucks and my employer kicks in an additional three, that's 30% more money I'm saving.
Right.
It's no brainer. You gotta contribute up to the match. You have to. Get the free money, guys. Next thing is, in-service distribution. Most people aren't aware of this, but typically after the age of 59 and a half, you're able to move the money out of your 401k and put it into an IRA. That does not close out your 401k. You can continue to contribute, but the pros for this would be that, first of all, we're getting more investment options. You can invest in anything you want in your IRA. Anything, right? Bitcoin, gold, whatever. You name it. All of Luke's favorites, right? But you're also now eliminating the fee, right? Because there is no fee in an IRA. IRA stands for Individual Retirement Account. It's your account. You now have control of that, so you got to be smart with it. You know, You don't want to put all your money and be like, oh my God, I got this hot stock tip from the taxi driver. You don't want to do that, right? But we want to be able to have just more sophisticated investment options in an IRA. That is what's available to you.
Well,
over 59 and a half, you're able to take that money out, do a direct rollover. There's not a tax consequence, and get it into something that you can control and just have more options.
The thing that concerns me when you leave your money in a 401k, if I was above the age of 59 and a half, is if we had a 2008 and 2009 scenario when the employers locked up their 401ks and didn't make them accessible and didn't allow people to go access their own money, because it's not your own money if it's in a 401k, a 403b, or 457, or all these different tax codes, right? So IRA, like you hit on, stands for Individual Retirement Account. It's your money. So outside of just the optionality of the investments saving the money, I just like knowing the peace of mind that I have my money in my own control.
Yeah, you have control. And you know, in your 401k, you may lose control because of the plan provisions may limit you from taking the money out, especially in, like you use the example, 2008. Market's down 40 grand or 40%.
A lot of people wish they were only down 40 grand back then.
But the reason they locked this down is because that means they would have had to liquidate the funds and make that money available to you. And these funds are like, that's a behavioral finance error. Like we're not going to sell at the bottom, lock in our losses. We're going to not give your money to you. Sorry. So yes, that is definitely another pro. I would say the biggest con, I mentioned it before, is that if you put the money in your IRA, it's your responsibility to invest it. So don't make bad decisions, right? Or limit them or whatever you want to say. But like, that's the con. Like, it's on you now to make that money grow, but you do have every investment under the sun that you can invest in. And then the third thing, the third mistake is that leaving your old 401ks, at your old employer. You know, it's so funny. I see, you know, anytime I meet with a new person, I occasionally will see somebody where I'm like, man, they got four old 401ks just floating out there. Like, who's watching this stuff? And I'm like, I just, you know, I left it over there and I left this over here. Get it out of there. You know, I always use the thing when we teach our like educational classes is, you know, how many of you moved from house to house? And everyone virtually raises their hand and be like, did you leave your furniture at your old house or did you take it with you? Everyone, yeah, I took it with me. Well, do that with your 401k. Either move it to your new 401k.
I don't know. Or my now fiance, since my ex-girlfriend bought my furniture, if we move, I don't think she wants to take the furniture because
I can only imagine. Yeah.
So not everybody, Tony.
Well, are we going to have a big burning party of all your old furniture, like a big bonfire?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe even the house.
So, you know, if you have an old 401k, either consolidate it into your new 401k or maybe even do I think the more efficient thing is move it to an IRA, right? You know, move it to a traditional IRA. If you have Roth money in there, move it to a Roth IRA. But don't let it float out there. Consolidation is very important because, again, it just consolidates the sophistication of your investment strategy. So
sophistication.
That's all.
That's the name of the game.
That's what we're trying to. That's what we're trying to drop
make
on
all
you.
Sophistication. Anyway, we're trying to keep these below 10 minutes, so we will wrap this one up. Tune on in a couple days when we release the next one coming up on Monday. Yep. This is a Thursday podcast, so tune in Monday morning. You'll be able to see another 10-minute episode. Yep. Where we'll be hitting on more financial planning corner things, but also some more market takes, as well as I think bank earnings coming up is going to be a topic coming up as well.
Yes, sir.
Kind of sets the stage for the future of earnings.
Yes, sir. All right. Great. Well, we'll catch you at the next episode. Have a great day, guys.
The opinions expressed in the podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any investment, legal, financial, or tax strategy. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. Please consult a qualified professional about your individual needs.